the show, Elevate Columbus. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Joey, and we are so excited to bring you some of Central Ohio's best innovators and difference makers. Now let's get into it. What's up, guys? It's Joey Thomas here with my co-host, Bobby Wright.
Hello, everyone.
We are we're recording the morning this time. We don't typically record in the morning. It feels kind of good.
Yeah, maybe a few more yawns this morning. I've got coffee.
You can only see the yawns on the video, so. But we are sitting, we will not be yawning, because we are sitting across from someone with a really cool story and a lot that's happening in Columbus, and they have their hands in it. So, Bobby, talk a little bit about our guest, Don Carroll.
Yeah, we welcome Don Carroll, VP of Business Development at VPL, or Vantage Point Logistics. Don, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, there's big conversations all throughout the country in regards to healthcare. And after talking with you, I've realized just in this very short time that it's very surface level. There's a lot of things that have to change as healthcare changes. One of those big things is how we are adapting logistically, how we are helping this growth and this change behind the scenes. So Vantage Point Logistics is becoming a big movement in that adaptation. Talk to us a little bit about VPL, how it started, and then we'll get into your story a little bit.
Sure. So Vantage Point Logistics was started by our co-founders, Eric McGlade and Scott Crow. They and several of us that are with the company, our current leadership group within the company of VPL, we were all with a previous company, HLS MedFreight, about 15 years ago, who really brought the concept of end-user or provider-driven freight management to the healthcare provider community. So to kind of keep the term simple, think hospitals, right? So at the time, hospitals had really no good way to try to manage the cost of moving product into and out of their own facilities. They kind of left that up to others, and these others, of course, were using it as a profit center. They were pretty significantly marking up the cost of moving that around, and it was adding a lot of cost into healthcare. So we had a really good run there at HLS MedFreight, kind of developing this model. That company was ultimately bought by Cardinal Health here locally in Columbus.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, everybody's kind of heard of that.
What's that?
So, you know, Cardinal, great company. A few of us, myself included, spent a couple of years there as part of that acquisition. And really right around the time of the acquisition, Scott and Eric had always known that there was a better way to provide not only the service that we were currently providing, but where this model or concept could really go in the future, using technology to drive better solutions. So better solutions, more visibility, more control, lower costs. So, you know, when they formed VPL, they started developing these new processes and building the technology to start supporting a full service model as we were used to. But you know, you kind of flash forward here from 2011 when it started to today, we're really in the midst of transitioning ourselves from a full service turnkey solution, if you will, to more of a self-serve SaaS or software as a service technology solution provider based on what our customers' needs are today and what we think the customers' needs are going to be down the road.
How difficult of a transition is that? Because we talked to different business owners about shifting and changing and morphing into whatever the market is requiring you to be. How difficult of a transition is that? Are you completely changing your identity, or are you just kind of becoming a newer you?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think down the road we're going to be changing our identity, right? So you can't just wake up in one morning and say, well, you know, we're something different, right? So there's quite a few things that really go into that. You know, number one, you got to know what the customer needs, right? Not only today, but you have to anticipate what the customer is going to need down the road. If we don't do it, somebody else is going to, because we're all out there thinking about the same things, right? So even if the customer doesn't realize today that they need it, you know, one of the things we hear a lot from customers is you'll go in and we'll talk to someone that we work with, and they'll be, well, don't ask me all the time what I need, right? Come in here and tell me what I should have, right? So, you know, you guys are the experts. You come in here and tell us. So we have a pretty good idea of, you know, we always like to say we want to skate to where the puck's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a sense of where our little piece of the supply chain, you know, what we're trying to affect is where it's going and how we're going to be developing that. And really, as part of that transition, the real tricky part is you need to have people that are working day-to-day on the business, because you have to support the business, right? Supporting the current business is really what allows you to go out there and fund the development that you're trying to do for future state. So rather than have people that are kind of standing with one foot in both sections of the business, you know, you got to have people that are working on your core, yep. But then you got to have people that are really thinking about strategy in the future and development, and what are we going to do and how are we going to add that to the core business or change the core business over time.
Sure. So Don, tell us where you're from, and did you grow up wanting to be in business development for a logistics company like this?
No, I grew up wanting to be a NASCAR driver.
There you go.
That's what I wanted to be.
Let's talk about NASCAR.
That didn't quite work out for me. I did spend some time in Charlotte, but it just wasn't working.
Motor Speedway.
Yeah, exactly. Right up the road. No, I'm originally from Cleveland, west side of Cleveland, Avon Lake. Moved around quite a bit as a kid, but you know, primarily graduated from high school in Avon Lake. Came down in the late 80s to go to Ohio State.
The Ohio State
uh-huh. University. Like so many other people, Columbus kind of sucked me in, right? So I've moved away from Columbus several times since I graduated.
And it brought you back.
It does bring you back. You develop a core network here, you know, your group. And if you decide you want to do something different and you start calling people, they're like, well, man, there's a lot of stuff going on in Columbus. Yeah. You really ought to be coming back to Columbus. So I actually moved from Charlotte back here to Columbus about 15 years ago to go to work for the company that I had mentioned earlier, HLS MedFreight. And I'm really glad I did. It's been a great opportunity. I had done nothing in healthcare previous to that. So it's been a great learning experience. It's really been great for me personally and professionally. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Columbus is a great town. You know, 25 years ago when I came down here from Cleveland, I was not digging Columbus, I'll tell you. I mean, it was tumbleweeds. It was a ghost town downtown. You guys know, yeah. You know, on Saturday, Sundays, you couldn't find anything going on.
Good old
there.
City center downtown.
City center. Exactly. It's come so far. And, you know, living in Ohio now, you're either in Columbus or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you live downtown. You live in the heart of Columbus, Arena District,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I hear you have an affinity for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I read this in your bio mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. like to cook big elaborate meals, but don't always care about eating them afterwards.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, you know, if you spend 2 days, right, putting this stuff together, right, and somewhere along the line, it's like, this is really cool, but by the time it's done, you lose interest in eating it, right? So you hope there's somebody around that's going to be able to enjoy it you're done with it.
We'll make sure you have my contact information.
Right, exactly.
We'll find someone around here.
Exactly.
I think that should tell us a lot about you, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot about your personality. Sounds like you really like creating and building things.
Mm-hmm.
And does that apply here? I mean, you think about your involvement with HLS MedFreight. You know, you build something up, and maybe it gets or it arrives at its completion, and now it's time for you to go move on and build
yep.
something else.
Yep.
Is your affinity for cooking?
Mm-hmm.
Does this apply here?
Yeah, you know, I'd say it's probably indicative to some degree of my personality, right?
Yeah.
So I like quick. I like change. I like to get something done. If it's going to fail, I want to fail it fast and then move on to something that's going to be more successful, whether that's a company or something within it or even really something in my personal life for that matter. So, you know, my experiences with HLS, that was great. That was 6 years. I learned a ton. It was a very fast-paced environment. You know, we were growing exponentially, doubling our business every year, and that's a lot of fun, right? It's
yeah.
not for everybody because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of change, and again, you're going to fail, and that's just the way it's going to be, right? So you try to surround yourself with really smart people that understand that that's what you're doing and everybody's on the same path. You don't want everybody agreeing all the time because good constructive debate is a good thing, particularly in a growing company. Conversely, when HLS was sold to Cardinal, you know, Cardinal's a great company too, and I met a lot of great people there, still know a lot of people there, but the pace is so much slower, right? It's a bigger company, it's more bureaucratic, as you might imagine, more meetings, and you know, I'm of the opinion nothing gets done in meetings, right? So the more meetings you're in, the less work that's probably getting done. But you know, I realized pretty quickly that probably wasn't for me. So when I had the opportunity to get back together with some of the guys that I was working with at HLS to basically do the same thing, take a company from scratch scratch. There were four of us when I was hired. I was employee number two, I guess, next to the founders. I really jumped at the opportunity because, we had done this once, and it was really just a neat opportunity to try to do something similar but bigger.
Now, VPL does business nationwide, but headquartered here in Columbus?
We are headquartered here in Columbus. Surprisingly, I don't think we have any customers in Columbus. We have several customers in Ohio, but really what we do is we target and we provide value to really the largest health systems in the country. In fact, the two largest healthcare systems in the country are currently customers of ours. Where they're located really doesn't matter to us. As long as they're somewhere in the country.
Why Columbus as the headquarters? What about Columbus makes it a good environment for that?
Well, a couple things. One is more or less coincidence, just happens to be where the gentleman who really kind of developed this model originally lived and started his business here in Westerville, right up the street, actually. Nice. And then when Cardinal acquired us, it was nice we were all in the same town, yeah, because then they basically just brought the two groups together. So, mm-hmm. And Cardinal did a really nice job at that. So that's really why we're probably in Columbus. But there are a lot of advantages to being in Columbus. There's a lot of great talent in Columbus. You know, you look at Ohio State University, some of the other schools, they're pumping out really good, smart, talented kids. We were just having a conversation the other day, someone that was at Ohio State at the same time I was, and he just happens to be taking his daughters around to look at colleges. We were talking, I'm like, well, why don't you just go to Ohio State, right? And he goes, they can't get in. I'm like, they can't get into Ohio State? Well, 25, 30 years ago, yeah, if you could fog a spoon, you'd get into Ohio State, right? All of a sudden, right, I find out it's really competitive, yeah, right? It's like, wow, there's like really smart kids going to Ohio, yeah, State now, yeah, right? So number one, there's really a lot of good young, really smart, motivated talent in Columbus, which is great for a company like ours. And then number two, you know, as we were alluding to earlier, there's a lot of local support that's kind of quasi-governmental and private.
Public-private.
Public-private. That really invest time and resources and capital into supporting young, growing, particularly tech companies, yeah, because they know that's the kind of jobs they want and that's the kind of reputation that they want here in Columbus.
And talking, before we started recording, you mentioned Rev 1 Ventures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, Rev 1 Ventures, I think, is a great example of that, right? So they're really a startup incubator, and that's my term. I don't know what they would call themselves, but you know, I mean, every year they talk to, I think, 400 or 500 young entrepreneurs, and they kind of whittle that down to what they think the best ideas are, and they either invest their own investment capital or time or resources, or connect them with local resources, or provide discounted office space to help them get a business off the ground, right? I think they provide a great service. They did a few things for us coming up. I mentioned before we moved into our current space, we were actually down with Rev 1. We took up a couple of their spaces. We
outgrew it?
Yeah, they were kind of hinting at that, you know, we needed to go find some space. there were too many of
you
us running around
somebody
there.
Else now.
Yeah, they're
yes.
like you guys actually have a business now. You might want to
You're
might
not a preemie anymore. No, we got to pull you out of the
exactly.
NICU.
Is it like
exactly.
You know, your dad say growing up, you know, hey you're 18,
son.
So it's time to get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and also to bring up Smart Columbus. You were just interviewed by Smart Columbus as well. We had Jordan Davis on the show months ago.
Yeah, she just interviewed Rob Dune. He's our president and CEO. So that article will probably be coming out, I would imagine, here in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, and there's really a lot of local interest, particularly in growing tech companies, where there's a lot of venture capital funding flowing into those companies. And there's more than a handful of around town here that some folks are really keeping their eye on right now.
Mm-hmm. And you just received a pretty big investment. Talk about that a little bit.
We did. So, you know, again, as we mentioned, we're transitioning really from more of a service-based company to a technology-based company. And of course, in order to do that, you need to hire really good, smart people, particularly in the development and the tech side. And of course, the more of those you hire, the more space you need, et cetera, et cetera. So we did just close on a $9.5 million round of funding led primarily through Radian Capital. They're out of New York. They invest primarily in software and technology companies. And then a newer company or a newer fund here in town locally, Tamarind Hill. Mark Sherry locally is involved with that. He's on the board, I believe, of Rev 1, and he started this fund to help healthcare, like companies specific to healthcare and supply chain. So he was involved with that round of funding as well.
Beyond the opportunity to bring jobs, you know, to Columbus or people that are already here existing in Columbus, I mean, let's talk about all the different ways that VPL and the funding you've received, how is this going to impact our city beyond adding jobs to the city?
You know, I think really it helps build, if you take jobs out of it, right, and jobs are really the big kicker, right, and these are high-paying jobs, and that's why the city and the region and the county is very interested in these. Beyond that, it's reputation, okay? As this city develops more of a reputation as a startup city, and it is, okay, if you kind of look at the map, right, yep. Start sticking pins in the map, where's the venture capital going? I mean, you got the big places, right? I mean, yep. You've got Silicon Valley, yep. And you've got New York and Chicago and some of these places. But, you know, once you get down to a second tier on that, Columbus starts showing up on the map, right? Like, the biggest example recently within the last year or two is CoverMyMed. Mm-hmm. So if you know anything about that, you know, those guys.
$1.4 billion.
Yeah, it was 1.4, 1.6, something like that. You know, snapped up by McKesson. And, you know, those guys, they put 6-10 years into it, and they did great, right? Yeah, so yeah. When something like that happens, everyone notices, yeah. Right? So, and the more people start to notice that, you've got a few other companies here in town. Root, as an example, if you're familiar with Root, you know, they're going to go on a hiring spree here pretty soon. They just got another big round of funding. Again, it's just great for Columbus's reputation as a startup, and more VC, venture capital guys start looking into Columbus as a place to put their money.
And so you have experienced an explosive amount of growth as a company, and are there any examples that you can provide to small businesses? Any tips, any tricks, any things to look out for, be aware of that can help give them a little bit of a leg up and maybe save some time and money in that growth process?
Yeah, you know, when you're in your growth process, you really need to have a plan, okay? And I think a lot of guys get into this with a great idea but no plan, right? So you want to develop a plan, if nothing else, or a 3 to 5 year plan, right? So you got to have a path that you have to stay on. I would say you want to hire people that, you know, particularly if you're starting the company, you can't do everything, right? And you can't be good at everything. So, you know, some of the most successful entrepreneurs that I've ever had the pleasure of being around, they weren't great probably at any one thing their company did, but they were smart enough to go hire people that were better than them.
Absolutely.
At those pieces of the business, and then let them run those pieces of the business. And as I was alluding to earlier, you need people that are day-to-day running your business, but you always need to have a part of your business and a part of your folks that are really focused on where are you trying to get to next?
Right.
Because it's really, really hard to do both of those things at the same time.
Sure.
You got to operationalize your business and pay the bills, right? But then you've also got to have these folks out there that are really strategizing and building the technology that's going to take you to the next step. And you don't always want to get along, right? So
right. You
don't want to get into that groupthink situation. So I know companies that I do business with today, long-established companies, they're not growth. These are like Fortune 100 companies that everybody I talk to has been with the company for 20 years or 30 years.
Right.
And there's some advantages to that, but there's some real disadvantages to that too, which primarily is groupthink,
yeah.
Right? So everybody thinks the same way,
right.
And those that don't at some point probably get weeded out, right? So I think it's harder for them to be very innovative because they're all thinking the same way. So again, hire diverse people, right? Different backgrounds, different aptitudes, different skill sets, and put them in a room and let them debate it for a while, right? And like I said, if you're going to fail at something, fail fast and move on to the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot has happened. A lot is, we keep talking, keep bringing up this word change.
Mm-hmm.
Keep talking about transition. So 10 years ago, you mentioned off air, 10 years ago or maybe longer, you saw, you know, more private urgent care, then got into hospital settings, and now we're seeing the Ohio Health's on every corner. Let's get back to the advantage,
mm-hmm.
right, of
mm-hmm.
your service when mm-hmm. it comes to all of that change and growth and the different locations and everything like that. How is this most effective?
Sure. So really, at its core, what we are trying to do, particularly in healthcare, we're in a couple other markets, higher education and research, but healthcare is our focus, right? So in healthcare, what we're really trying to do is provide more visibility, control, and savings through their supply chain or across their continuum of care. And the reason we bring up urgent cares is with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, right? revenues on hospitals per patient, right? The revenue model's changing. So there's really less revenue per patient. So really what health systems now are trying to do is, number one, cut their expenses. And a lot of that goes right back to supply chain. You know, how efficiently can we buy things and get them from where they're manufactured into our network and then around our network the most cost-effective way, have more visibility, have more control. But what's really happening to kind of compound those issues is the continuum of care is growing. So it used to be when I was a kid, if you had anything wrong, right, you went to a hospital, you went to an emergency room, whatever, and you know, you get the bills from 20 different companies, right, you know, because they were all working out of the emergency room. I can't remember the last time I was to an emergency room, or anyone I know for that matter, unless they had a bone sticking out of their leg, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to urgent care now, right? Or if you need a nip or a hip or a knee replaced now, you're probably going to an ambulatory surgery site, right, an orthopedic center somewhere. Mm-hmm. They might be associated with a health system, right? But you're not going to the hospital because it's more cost effective to serve the patient outside the hospital, which really lends itself well to what we're trying to do as an organization, which is these health systems need to move product into so many more locations than they used to. And how do they know where it is? How do they know where it needs to be? And how do they know how to get it there most efficiently, most cost-effective manner?
Mm-hmm. I have to think, you know, on the, if you think from the other side of this, I mean, the reason why healthcare got so expensive, right? Mm-hmm. Think about the city of Columbus. You think about the growth in population. Mm-hmm. I have to think that the service that Vantage Point Logistics provides actually helps not only keep it cost-effective for the movement of product, but that is helping keep healthcare, I would say, more affordable. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah. Long term? Sure. So really, we are all about, the service that we provide is really all about savings or cost reduction, right? And the more, with revenues being down, right, the CFOs of these large institutions, right, they're going right to the folks and saying, we need to cut expenses.
Yep.
Right? They don't want to cut headcount because you still have patients that you have to serve. So you need to keep your clinicians, you need to keep the folks that you have that are actually running your hospitals and these different points of care. Sure. So they're going right to the supply chain guys going, nah, this is on you. I need you to figure out a way to keep getting as much product as we need at less cost. So there's only a few ways to do that, right? You can either negotiate the cost of the product down through contracting, which they're pretty good at, or you can reduce the cost of moving the stuff around. And that's really where we come in, is we really just want to give them more visibility and control and cost reduction across the continuum of care to make sure they've got the right product in the right place at the lowest cost all the time.
If I'm someone who wants to get involved in this space, who am I? You know, who does VPL need to grow in the city of Columbus?
So right now, we are going out right now, since we just closed this round of funding, right? We're getting ready to invest about $2.5 million of that in really two things. So first is doubling, almost tripling our office space, because we know we're going to add a lot of headcount, right? And we want it to be cool office space, because everybody wants to go to work in a place that's fun to be, right? But then right now, we are going out for senior software developers and technology-based guys, you know, database administrators, folks that are going to help us develop these products, these technology products, platforms that we want to put out. So that's really, if you are a senior software developer and you want to work for a cool company that is fast moving and putting some product out relatively quickly into the biggest really market in the country, which is healthcare, you're probably a pretty good fit for VPL.
Yeah, and you mentioned big office space.
Cool.
So what does
everybody wants?
Look
everybody
like?
Wants
yeah.
cool space.
Yeah. I have to think about. I mean, you know. The software development and tech and all that, I mean, our society, we're all going more toward remote, right? Everybody can work remote. Mm-hmm. People want to work from home or their own offices or co-working space. I have to assume that if you're looking for big office space, you're looking to hire people that live in Columbus that are in an environment that collaborates together. And like you said, but not in a groupthink way, but a group that's face-to-face that can share their ideas and even debate on those ideas. Is that safe to assume?
Yeah, I think that's safe to assume. So, you know, generally speaking, we have a pretty open office space, right? There might be five offices in our whole organization right now, right? Other than that, it's big, it's open, it's light. We try to get people together. It's a good way to collaborate. You know, as far as the work from home and this type of thing, you know, everybody's trying to find that nice, happy medium, right, where it comes to what can you offer in terms of benefits, what can you offer culturally that's kind of cool. Different companies take different approaches to that. You know, as an example, some companies have take all the PTO you want policy, but, you know, we've discovered through some research we've done that when you offer that, people actually take less PTO. So we just want to come out of the gate and go, here, we're going to give you a lot of it, and we want you to take it, right? So we want you to get out of here. So the benefits, and then, you know, we're doing happy hours and, you know, typical stuff. I mean, if you want a beer, just go grab a beer, and we try to keep it fun and light.
That's great.
Is there anything specific, like any other examples that you look to, companies that you're looking at to say, look, we want that kind of culture? Or would you say that the cultural identity is 100% VPL? Is it original? Or is there any inspiration that you draw from?
You know,
the Googles of the world.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the Googles and the Amazons, they really get carried away with it, right? But, you know, their margins are insane,
ridiculous,
right?
So
they don't even make money.
Amazon, that's an interesting model. I love Amazon, by the way.
Yeah, so likewise.
I don't ever go to the store anymore. Yeah. It's just stacks of boxes at the office with my name on them anymore, it seems like. So, yeah, there's certain things that you look to there, but generally speaking, we're trying to make it a culture of our own. We're just trying to kind of cherry pick out what we see out there, some of the better benefits, and culturally how some of the folks really more locally are doing it. You know, we're not trying to emulate Silicon Valley because we're not really competing with them. But, you know, there are certainly some companies around town that, you know, we're taking a look at, you know, what are their health benefits? You know, what's their office space look like? You know, what are people doing their day? You know, are you pretty flexible if somebody needs to take time off and work from home? And, you know, we try to be all those things. So, but we are trying to create our own unique identity.
Wonderful. And what better place to do it than Columbus, right?
Exactly.
Don, we've appreciated your time today on the show, and really we're glad that your team chose Columbus. We're glad Ohio State brought you here and all of the development that's coming from your services at VPL. You know, I'll tell you, if there's any last words of advice you can give people that want to, besides having a plan, you know, we can tell you're really passionate about this. Is there any last pieces of advice you can give our listeners for just taking the opportunity of living in Columbus and using their passions to grow within the city?
And the resources available to them in Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would really do research on the startups and the incubators, you know, the folks like Rev1, and, you know, they've always got really great ideas on how to hire, because it really, at the end of the day, I don't care how good your idea is, you have to have good, smart, motivated people that are on the same path you are. And if you're trying to do something quick, they need to be on that path.
Sure.
Right? And not everybody's that way. And you just want to hire really good people. And if it's your own business, go out and hire people that are smarter than you about what it is you're doing. And
that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
At the end of the day, you're probably going to turn out okay.
Yeah. Great advice. Don Carroll, Vantage Point Logistics. Thank you again for joining us. We look forward to following your success going forward.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.